Hey friends, before we jump into this episode of Film on the Rocks, we just want to let you guys know that our Patreon is now in full swing at patreon.com/filmontherocks. We have a $2 tier to become one of our drinking buddies, Water School 2. This includes early access to episodes, bonus episodes, polls for what we cover, and so much more. So come check it out. Once again, that is patreon.com/filmontherocks. Check the show notes for our links.
Welcome back to a special episode of Film on the Rocks. I'm Brucker.
I'm Levi.
And this is a slightly different episode. Levi and I have been talking about some like bonus episodes or just kind of different, weirder episodes that we can do that venture a little bit out from our typical movie talks. So we kind of came up with this idea of like an audio newsletter sort of bonus episodes we'll do. So we're trying this out, and we're also using a different recording method today to try to make this editing process seamless and easier for us. So if it sounds different, that's why. But so I don't know really what to call this, Levi, but before you and I kind of spitball ideas, what this is that we've kind of want to start doing kind of like wrap-up episodes at the end of each month where we discuss the movies we did that month, a little bit peek behind the curtain, how we would rank these movies when compared to each other, and, you know, just peek it behind the curtain, you know, how did recordings go, researching. This is also a time for listeners to, you know, send us feedback and questions and for us to address those. So whatever you got a question or any sort of comment or feedback you like for us to address or just mention to you in the show, email us at fotrpodcast@gmail.com. We have a couple things to address here, Levi. I'm pretty excited to get to these. And we'll also kind of give you a sneak peek to the episodes that we have planned. So, yeah, this is... I don't know what to call this. We like after hours, talks on the rocks.
Yeah, you said talks on the rocks, which I thought is just... I like that name a lot. Just it's punchy, film on the rocks and talks on the rocks. But, I mean... I'm all for names. Maybe we can open that up to the listeners. If you guys have a good idea of a name that we can use for this, like, give us a shout. Like, I don't know. We're open. I'm open to creativity.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Email us your best ideas or tweet at us, and we'll vote on it. Yeah, that would be great. So I guess right now we're sticking with talks on the rocks. I guess right now we'll see what people like. I don't know what to call this.
I guess talks on the rocks with Levi and Brooker, or Brooker and Levi.
And if you don't already, be sure to follow us on our socials at on Twitter at Film on the Rocks and on Instagram at Film on the Rocks Podcast. That's where any sort of news or polls for the podcast, we put them there. So be sure to stay up to date with us. I typically put polls for people to vote on for movies for us to do. I recently did one, and a lot of people voted on Clue for it to be a movie that I cover, which that's a super fun movie, Levi. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I haven't, but you've spoken very highly of it, and you've said how much my wife and I would just love it. Like, Rachel's been kind of pestering me, but it's like, we should watch Clue. Brooker keeps talking about Clue. I'm like, yeah,
it's so fun, dude. And if we do that, I vote that we bring the ladies on to talk about with us, because it would be very fitting.
I'm in totally.
So yeah, just be sure that you follow us on our socials, and, you know, because we're always giving out news and updates about the show on there and reaching out, and we love to hear what you guys think. You guys got good ideas and good feedback, and it makes us feel good when we hear nice things about the show.
You know, yeah, it does. Yeah, it's good to hear people from the outside. You know, we love it because it's literally two friends coming together talking about movies. Like, you can't not have a great time doing that. But if we're just talking at people and people, you know, aren't enjoying it, like, it's good to know that people are actually enjoying our stuff. But so far, from the people who have communicated with us, we've gotten some positive feedback. So we really appreciate that, y'all.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. And if you ever want to like help out the show or do something nice for us, just give us a rating on iTunes, or share us on your socials, or share us to a friend, recommend us to someone, or just reach out to us to say, hey, really like this episode. It was a lot of fun. That would just make our day. However, Levi, let's go ahead and kind of get into our first kind of Film on the Rocks movies rankings. So
yes, this, Talks on the Rocks.
So this past month in May, which I had to like remind myself five times what month we just got through because I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah. So this month we did our mini-sode ranking our top five Jim Carrey movies. We're kind of going, so that way we have four movies to talk about. We're going to grandfather in the last movie we did in April, which was American Psycho. So mm-hmm. the four movies that we're kind of going to be ranking that we recently covered are American Psycho, The Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and Solo, A Star Wars Story. All are movies, of course, that I like.
Yes.
American Psycho was the only one in here that I hadn't seen before like doing that. Like, I watched that movie specifically for the podcast. Well, same thing for Eternal Sunshine, but I was kind of watching that anyways because I wanted to see it. And did you see all four of these movies before we recorded them, Levi? I already forgot.
I hadn't seen Eternal Sunshine, but I had seen, you know, Solo because it's Star Wars. I'd already seen it 1,000 times. Truman Show and American Psycho I'd also already seen. But yeah, Eternal Sunshine, I meant to watch it for a long time just because of how it kind of ranked in Jim Carrey's, you know, repertoire. But it was something that this podcast forced me to watch it, which is a good thing. I've been meaning to watch it for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen so many good... I've been exposed to so many good movies because of this podcast I hadn't seen before, right. Especially when we did our Listener Request Month back in April. Mm-hmm. I still, to this day, I think The Thing from 1982, requested by Grace. Shout out to Grace. She's been...
1984, right?
It was 82.
Was it 82?
Yeah.
Oh, my brain.
Shout out to Grace for for requesting that movie. She's been awesome. She's always liking stuff on Twitter, and she's been super nice to us. And also, she requested that awesome movie, which is probably my favorite John Carpenter movie now. So I think that's been my favorite movie I've watched specifically for the podcast.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. You know what? I should have thought more about that. You'll have to come back to me on that. When it comes to my mind of like what my favorite one of we've ever done is. That's a really good
question. I don't know if it's my favorite one we've ever done, but it was the favorite one that like I have never seen before watching it for the first time for the podcast.
Do you know what your favorite one we've ever done is? Just because since this is our first Talks on the Rocks, what do you have an idea of like probably your favorite one ever is?
My favorite like recording was definitely Knives Out.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was so much fun to record. I mean, I was super jazzed to talk about it. I watched so many hours of bonus features to talk about it. And I bought this. That was a situation where I'm not renting on Redbox. I'm purchasing this movie. I'm going to own a copy. And it was so much fun to research. I love that movie. And it was so much fun to talk. And I think that was the same night that we also... So in case people don't know, Levi and I typically record episodes in batches. So we normally do like two episodes in a night. And Knives Out was the second half of a night. In the first half, we recorded Parasite, I believe.
Yeah, we wanted to do kind of the more, more serious. It is, you know, just a little bit more serious one first, so we could have all of our mental acumens at the ready. And then when we got to Knives Out, not that it was like a lesser challenge, it is still a very good movie, but we could relax a little bit and kind of enjoy the funness of Knives Out.
Yeah, because I felt like I needed to be very on for Parasite because
100%.
That was 100%. It's a great movie, but it's a lot to process, especially since it wasn't in English and I was trying really hard to have all my notes straight, and especially the quotes, because that was probably one of the more difficult quote segments we've had to do, because you know the movie's in
Korean, right? Think that was probably I think it's the most difficult by far to try, and because we're saying it in English and it just much more I think mine, I was thinking about I'm on my phone right now looking at all of the ones that we've done. Shutter Island was really good. You said Knives Out, that was a really good one. I thought Good Will Hunting was a blast too.
That one is awesome.
Spirited Away was just a joy for me.
Yes, because it was. Of
the research I got to do. I feel like I talked for like 75% of that. Like I was just like, oh, here's something else, Brooker. But I think my overall favorite to record out of all of them we've done is probably The Proposal. I thought The Proposal was just a blast. The Thing was a good one too. I liked having Rachel on there, but The Proposal overall, to have both of our significant others on the podcast, I thought was just so much fun.
See, I think the thing was for The Proposal, it was a blast, and I love having them on. But like when I was hosting that episode, so I felt like I had to really be on top of everything and guide the conversation to make sure, because people don't know, I had to cut like that was a over 2 hour episode we recorded, and I had to cut that down to 90 minutes. So
yeah, it was really impressive. Brooker, you really kind of guided us beautifully through the swamp that was the first time we had four people on the podcast.
Oh man, I tried. And then, but then like when we did The Thing and Rachel came on, you were hosting that. So I was like, all right, I get to lay back and just talk about The Thing. Yeah, I don't have to worry about where the conversation goes because I'm not editing this.
And it was good. That's like most of the time whenever Rachel and I go out, because I'm a bubbly, talkative person. But whenever we are kind of like out in bigger groups, Rachel just shines. She's just this like social butterfly, and she's kind of usually the center of the conversation. And so a lot of the times, if we are both in a conversation together, she will lead the conversation and I will kind of add into it. And so it just felt like normal for me to be like, here's a topic, and then Rachel and the people we're talking to, which happened to be you, were just kind of going on. I'd be like, oh yeah, here's a little bit of me, and then I would let y'all keep going. And it felt supernatural to me. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's always really fun when we have them on. The thing was awesome to record. And you mentioned Good Will Hunting. That one's one of like Knives Out is one of my like personal favorite episodes of ours, and Good Will Hunting is definitely up there. I wanted to quickly mention when you brought up Spirited Away. That was a situation where crap, this movie isn't available for rental anywhere, and we're recording tomorrow. I procrastinated too much. Looks like I'm about to become a proud owner of the movie Spirited Away, so I now
is just so good, though. And that, you know, that was probably my bad, because I have it on my shelf. I have a copy of it, so I had it at the ready. But that was definitely one that I can remember us having that conversation, you being like, Spirited Away, like, the cartoon, like, you know, are people going to listen? And I was like, trust me. Hayao Miyazaki has got a following. You got to trust him. And it did pretty well. I think it's still in like our top 6 or 8.
Oh, top 4, I think.
Really?
Yeah, we were number 1 in the podcast rankings for like film genre or whatever a podcast. We were number 1 in Korea for a long time because of I'm sorry. I'm thinking of I'm getting my wires crossed. I'm thinking of Parasite. Crossed. No, Spirited Away did. I don't know if that led us to any sort of power rankings, but that is one of our more popular episodes.
Yeah, Parasite was top 5. Yeah, might have been number 4 for sure. I think Spirited Away, the last time I looked, might have been number 7, which is still really good. Top 10 out of all the ones we've done is pretty good. I don't think anything has touched Shutter Island. I don't think anything will touch. I mean, it'll be a minute, but I think that's when we'll know we've kind of taken the next step. And as far as listening, more people listening, is when something overtakes Shutter Island.
Yeah, that one's a very popular episode. That gets downloads almost every day.
Yeah.
And yeah. Popular movie, one of my favorite movies.
Oh yeah, so good. Very, very, yeah. I was gonna say very underrated, but like I don't feel like it's not, but I don't hear a lot of people talk about it.
I think it's because it's 10 years old now, and
yeah, I guess
I think some people don't rewatch movies as often as I do. I'm like, this is like one of the most rewatchable movies ever, and everybody's like, this movie is so sad and depressing, like I can only watch it like once a year or something like that. I'm like, oh, I could watch it all the time. It's great. It's my background movie.
Anyone who's listened to at least one other podcast of ours knows this, but like Brooker, you're like one of those people who, I'll use books as an example, where someone like after a week they're like, oh yeah, I read 16 books. They're like, where do you find the time to read 16 books in a week? You know, how do you do? I am convinced that you go to work, but like you kind of have a movie playing kind of somewhere off in the by your office, by the lab or something. Yeah, you're just kind of watching it while it's happening. You say, oh yeah, I watched 16 movies this week. I said, how? I barely have time to watch like two or three in a week.
I think I forgot to mention this, but we are going to have a segment in these bonus episodes where we talk about what movies we've been watching and what we recommend for y'all to watch. And my list is huge. I'm sorry. It's just like the last 2 weeks.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, let's finally get to the movies that I mentioned. Between American Psycho, Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine, and Solo, what do you have at number one between those four movies?
And just to be clear, explain to them, like, the ranking. We're ranking this. What's the criteria?
I mean, it's personal, so however you want to do it. This isn't, like, recording. I'm not asking, like, which one was your favorite to record. What was just your favorite, like, you know, watching a movie, which one was your favorite movie out of these four?
So this was a really easy. It's a really easy answer for number one.
Okay.
It was Solo.
Really? Was Solo.
Yes, it was. To watch, just to watch, it was Solo. And here's why. You know, granted, I had seen Truman and American Psycho already. Eternal Sunshine was the first time. Really enjoyed that as well, obviously. But for Solo, that was one of those movies in the Star Wars kind of ranking, which someday we are going to do a Star Wars ranking. Mm-hmm. Someday we're going to do that. Today is not the day. But in my Star Wars ranking, Solo would always kind of be near the bottom. Watching it again, it's definitely not perfect, and I remember it being just beautiful, but it is just so beautiful and such a fun ride. I think it is, as far as Star Wars movies go, mind you, I think that it is the best movie that someone who is not a Star Wars fan can just sit down and watch plain, like without any sort of background. I would say that or A New Hope are probably the two that you can
like the easiest to fall into. Knowing,
yeah, nothing to really. You don't really need anything to be a fan of those movies.
That makes sense. I get that.
Yeah, Solo was number one. What about you?
I had Truman Show at number one, and it's odd because you and I are. I had Solo at the bottom of this list. Not that
what?
Does
really.
That doesn't mean I don't like it. Just compared to these other movies, I just thought that the other three movies were just overall better movies, in my opinion.
As far as just like the overall is just as far as movies go. Like yes, these are classics, but as far as me just enjoying my time overall. Solo takes the top. I think that I could keep going on and on about
right.
it. But yes, I think Truman can sit at number one. That totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's my number one in this list of four random movies.
I
mean, you know, it's just because I think it's very rewatchable. Not that Solo isn't. I just think it's a little bit more rewatchable to me. And doing the research for it was such a joy because I love this world that they had to get really creative with how to, it's a stylistic movie, you know, because like for Solo, the style is Star Wars. So, you know, you just need to stay true to what's already been presented in the Star Wars universe. You got to make it look and feel like Star Wars, which is a huge task as it is, but the blueprint's kind of been laid out for them and they're kind of just expanding on that. And here in Truman Show, they were having to, you know, what is the style of this show? What is the style of Sea Haven? Like they had to like come up with all this. It was just very cool for me to listen to the visual effects supervisors discuss their thought process on this. And that's something I appreciate because it really shows in the movie because you, like, it's like even like Jim Carrey isn't in the shot necessarily, but you just get a glimpse of like one of the buildings or the streets in this. You kind of just go, that looks like Truman Show. So they did a really good job with that. And also the story's really cool. I like it. So it's number one for me for those reasons.
Was Truman Show also your favorite to research?
My favorite to research. Yeah, definitely.
See, that's... My favorite to research is so funny. My favorite to research is actually at the bottom of my list of just like the movie itself.
Awesome. Well, I guess like while we're kind of like Actually, no. Oh, wait. What was your number two? We'll kind of move on to that.
Yeah. My number two, and this one was hard between the two and three because they were really close in my mind. But I gave number two to Eternal Sunshine.
I was very close to doing that.
Yeah. Eternal Sunshine was, you know, this was the one movie that I hadn't seen before. Like, I watched it for the podcast, like I said. And it's so good. The writing is good. The casting is pretty good. The story is unique. You know, again, it's not perfect. You know, but it's with how unique it is. It's just a great, great ride. And
oh, definitely.
The main characters play off each other so well. Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet are just so good against each other.
Yeah, that was definitely a very fun first-time watch, and I think I watched it twice before we recorded. I can't remember now. I sometimes will like to shake off the rust. I'll go through the movie, but I'll kind of like skip around. But yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch for the first time. Kind of like you said, and we talked about in the episode. Just the cast was great, and what you're saying, it's a very unique plot, and it sticks out a lot because of that.
Yes. Saying it sticks out is a very good way of putting it.
And I guess that's why you're saying that. I'll say I had Eternal Sunshine at number three, and at number two, I had American Psycho. Just because I was surprised I hadn't seen this movie before, and it was really good, and it has one of my favorite things that movies do is having an ambiguous ending. It leaves it up for debate and speculation, and that's in like in a good way, not like in a lazy like, oh, we don't know how to end this kind of way, you know. So I love movies that allow you to have debates for, you know, years that people could still debate this. That keeps the movie fresh, I think. So, and every time you watch it, depending what kind of mood you're in, you might see it through a different set of eyes and come to some sort of different conclusion. So that's why I had that at number two.
Yeah, that makes sense. American Psycho was my number four.
Oh, okay.
Behind Truman Show.
Oh, is it Truman Show's number three?
Truman Show's number three. I would agree with you that I think Truman Show is incredibly rewatchable. I think Truman Show is very, very close second place for me behind Solo as far as rewatchability. But it placed number three, American Psycho number four, and American Psycho was my favorite to research.
Oh, really?
It was so good. I love to hear kind of anything that comes from a book is going to have some crazy amounts of symbolism, some crazy amounts of, you know, why did they do this? There's some, you know, we talked about this in the podcast. It's easy to be ambiguous in a book. It's harder to be ambiguous in a movie.
Right.
And so kind of the attempts they made to be ambiguous and to put the subtlety from a book to film was so cool to research. The connection with No Exit, the play, was so wonderful. Yeah. And serial killers, not in a creepy way, mind you. It's so, you know, the human brain, I should say that. The human brain is so fascinating to me. Not just serial killers, but just how humans work.
Right.
And the American Psycho storyline and kind of the background of protagonist, I guess. I don't know what you would call him, but the main character in Bateman is just so fascinating to me, why he does what he does. It's so, in his mind, it's so reasonable. And to us, it's so chaotic and kind of the duality. Anyway, I could go on and on, but it was a blast to research. But as far as movie ranking goes, I can only deal with, like, there are some scenes in there that I can only watch once, and then I kind of have to take a break for weeks.
I get that.
You know, the violence against women is just, you know, that he's, you know, it's the character and it's part of the movie, but there's just something in me where I can't separate the fact that this is a movie from, like, reality, you know what I mean, when that happens. And it just does something weird to my brain. So for that reason, I have it at number four, not because it's a bad movie, but just because on my ranking, it'll never hit super high because I can only watch it once every like month or so.
Oh, I totally get that. And I'm with you on that. I had to, if people haven't already, because I talked about this on Twitter and on Instagram, go check out Spooky Sisters Book Club, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I was on there like 2 weeks ago or so. There's an episode with me, and we talked about 10 different horror films, specifically talking about Final Girls. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of movies to research, and one of the movies that we talked about was I Spit on Your Grave, and that was really rough to do the research on. If you don't know Levi, it's like it's a rape revenge movie.
Yeah.
That was incredibly hard doing the research for. I totally get your reasoning 100%.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Not to go on a crazy serious note, but yeah, but anything with like rape or kind of an insinuation of rape, it's really kind of, you know, I can deal with blood and gore and, you know, any suggestive themes of what kind, but rape is just something I can't.
It's kind of hard to get past.
It's hard to stomach. Yep.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good thing. It means we're not psychopaths.
Right. Yeah. We're just freaks. We're not psychopaths. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So, just to sum up my list again, Truman Show, number one, American Psycho, Eternal Sunshine, and Solo.
And then mine was number one, Solo, number two, Eternal Sunshine, number three, Truman Show, number four, American Psycho. Favorite to research American Psycho, favorite to record was Solo.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you that. Yeah. Solo was my favorite to record as well. It was awesome having Fan Dummies on and all five of us, man. That was so much fun.
Fan Dummies, if you guys are listening to this, I know you guys listen to some of ours. Y'all are sweethearts. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us. Yes. Anytime I can talk Star Wars lore, like you and I can talk Star Wars lore, Brooker, because you're also a freak like I am about Star Wars, but they are too, and they're bringing out this stuff. I'm like, yes, talk about, like, you start talking about these like B, C, D list Star Wars characters that you aren't even in the movie. They're just like in the background,
right.
But like you know they're there. It's just, and they're like, yeah, I know. And anyway, yeah, Fan Dummies, y'all are amazing.
I just want to say, just to help kind of like peek behind the curtain a little bit more, originally for that episode only Greg was going to come on for it. Well, actually, originally we weren't even going to do Solo. We were going to do Wonder Woman, because I went on the show back in March, and the kind of gentleman's agreement we came to was, you know, I'll come on their show, we'll have one of you come on ours, you know, to help each other out, promote. And I was like, well, I was kind of like scheduling this back in March before the pandemic hit. And I was thinking, well, Wonder, because I know since they're a superhero podcast, I was like, okay, well, I know Wonder Woman, the 1984, I think that's what it's called, Wonder Woman number two, is coming out in June, early June. So let's have one of y'all come out late May. We'll record for Wonder Woman to help. One, you know, it'll be boosting excitement for the new Wonder Woman movie, and I hope it'll be like an easy segue for you to talk about, hey, we're going to go watch it, we're going to record it on our show, y'all can talk about it. And then the pandemic hit, and Wonder Woman got pushed back, and they still want to come on in May. And I was like, okay, well, let's just do Solo, that's an easy one. And like, yeah, we'll just send Greg over, talk about Solo. I was like, okay. Then I listened to their Star Wars May the 4th celebration day, and they're all, I listened to them, they're all talking about how much they like Star Wars and whatnot. And I remember when I went on their show, I mentioned I liked the prequels. And one of them, I think it was either Aaron or Jessica, one of them said, oh, yeah, I do too. I was like, oh, man, you're a Star Wars fan. So I messaged Greg. I was like, hey, we got to have all of you come on, because like, it'll just add to it. And it was definitely worth it.
Totally. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. Solo with Fan Dummies. It is a blast.
Definitely. So we kind of have some listener questions that we got. Levi and I, for the record, we decided to do this episode kind of last minute. We've had the idea of this bonus episode that we're doing for a while, but I was kind of randomly like, hey, man, let's pull the trigger. Let's do it tonight. He's like, yeah, I'm free.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do it. So
Unpolished.
So Levi's been warming up in the bullpen all day. So
how did you know?
So I just went on to Twitter and Instagram. It's like, hey, just drop me a line right here. You know, if you got any questions or comments you want us to mention, it'll be a lot of fun. So we want to do this every bonus episode, which will be at the end of every month. So if you have a question you want for one of these episodes, send it whenever you want. Just please send it to that email, because it'll be really easy for me to keep track of it. Because if you send it to me on Twitter, I might lose it throughout the month. So just email fotrpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much. However, all of these, most of these are from Twitter that we got today, which is okay because it was last minute.
That's all right.
one of the questions, so John from Twitter, I don't know if people are comfortable with me giving last names, so I'm just going to say John from Twitter.
That's fair.
He's been awesome. He's been a really awesome FOTR listener, and he's always saying really nice things about us. So thank you, John, and be sure to go check him out. He has a movie podcast called Movie Lovers Unite. It's really fun. I really enjoyed his Knives Out review, simply because he and I differed a little bit on it, and I kind of like listening to people who have different opinions from me, just so that way I could kind of grow a little bit more, or me just going, oh, you're wrong. So so go check him out. But John from Twitter, so he had a very interesting question. He asked us to name our top 10 movie soundtracks. I'm going to be honest, John. I don't know if I could give you a full top 10 list, but I'm just going to spit out some movie soundtracks that I love. Which are movie soundtracks are awesome to listen to when you're just working or needing to like study or focus. And I'll give you my number one and two. My number one and two are the Ocean's movie, Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12. Fantastic soundtracks. And honestly, Levi, Ocean's 12 kind of nudges out Ocean's 11, the soundtrack. Nudges it out just a little bit. Just a little bit. But honestly, I blend them into one playlist.
Man, that's pretty good. David Holmes, I know you're a big...
is an awesome... what's the word I'm looking for? I'm blanking.
Composer?
Composer, thank you. Oh my God. David Holmes is an awesome composer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
So good. I'm a big fan of the soundtrack. I have quite a few favorites. I won't rank them, but I thought of a few off the top of my head. This is we'll finish recording. I'll be like, I forgot about this one. Mm-hmm. The Lord of the Rings soundtrack is
That's good.
Gorgeous. If you want to listen to some music that just makes you want to lower your shoulder and bust through a brick wall. Lord of the Rings. Oh, it's so good. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 have great soundtracks.
That's very true.
Star Wars soundtracks in general are really, really good. Specifically, Revenge of the Sith, I think, is probably the best. Did you have that?
Yes, I had that. I think that's my favorite Star Wars soundtrack.
I think it is too, man. It's a really, really, really... John Williams in general, he's kind of genius. The soundtrack god. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you've watched a movie and you've been like, man, that's a good soundtrack, there's like a 75% chance it was John Williams.
Yeah.
Baby Driver, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Baby Driver has an incredible soundtrack. So good. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Ooh, that's
has an incredible sound. That might be, if I had to make a list just unbiasedly of like the top five greatest movie soundtracks of all time, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, that would probably be on that list. It's so good. Forrest Gump's got a pretty good soundtrack. I haven't listened to it a ton, but it is pretty good. This one's a little bit more obscure. Brooker, have you seen The Prince of Egypt?
Oh, no, I haven't. Is that with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, it's... I don't think it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Maybe think of another like Prince movie.
It is an animated movie, so
I'm maybe thinking of like Prince of Persia or
yes,
one of those What's It Whovitz.
Prince of Egypt has Ralph Fiennes. I saw it when I was a kid. Val Kilmer, Sandra Bullock.
When I was a kid, I saw it. So
Jeff Goldblum.
I might as well have not seen it.
That soundtrack is amazing. It's a beautiful soundtrack. They just made a musical of it that's only in the UK. I almost got to see it while I was in London, but they had to cancel it because of the pandemic, and I cried. I will see that eventually. And did I have anything? I also had musical soundtracks, which they've made those into movies. I don't know if those count or not, but I'm a big musical fan. So like Phantom of the Opera, Dear Evan Hansen. Oh yeah, I love a good musical. The Last 5 Years. Sound of Music is a fun one. Hamilton is a blast. I'm sure a bunch of people out there love Hamilton. Hamilton isn't in my top five, but it is great. Such fun music. I kind of went off, but like music in movies can make or break.
Doesn't
a lot of times can make or break a movie. If you do the music well and you have an average movie, the movie as a whole gets much better.
I think like the case music in point can, is Star Wars A New Hope. Like because that's like what set the tone for this to be like a space opera and something more than a sci-fi movie. Because could you imagine Star Wars with like cheesy 80s like or like late 70s like just like weird, what you think would be typical for a sci-fi? Could you imagine it? Like it would, I think it would really just plummet its stock value a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it very well could have. I'm thinking specifically of that scene when Luke is on Tatooine and is like has his foot up on the sandbar and he's looking out in the suns and you know the suns of Tatooine and you the string instruments swell and said da na 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 like it's so it just what it oh gosh it just you I mean I'm it's coming from my voice, it sounds terrible, but like you're picturing it in your brain. It's just, oh, like there's no climax yet. The movie's just started and you're already like, oh, I'm with this boy on Tatooine. I'm right with him. Oh,
it's so good. It's so good. And especially like that's something I always like kind of like will nudge to Kat if I'm like really enjoying it in the movie. I'm like, oh my God, the music is so good. Oh, like I'm just geeking out. And I know nothing about music. Like I can't tell you anything about notes or I don't anything after that. There's nothing else in my vernacular, but I can't tell you
just notes.
Yeah, just notes or you know whatever the hell. Like I can't tell you anything. I just know when music rocks and it's so good. Some other ones I had on my list were did I cut you off?
No, I was just going to add on to the music, your music comment. That's like, that's why it's so important to me is because I grew up in music. Singing, I can play a bunch of different instruments. I'm not going to, you know, that you don't get to see that side of me in a podcast, but like, that is something that is very, very important to me. I think that that is the quickest way. I'm telling you, you get a good, like, song that just resolve. I don't mean to get super technical, but kind of it kind of resolves at the end of the measure and just like, oh, it'll bring a tear to your eye. I just, I hold music in very high regard. So if it's, that's why John Williams is just so special to me. But what were you saying, Brooker? I didn't mean to jump
in. I was just kind of going to continue my list. And again, these aren't in any specific order. These are just a bunch of soundtracks that are awesome. And these are all on Spotify. If you want to go listen to them, they're so good. The Knives Out soundtrack is amazing. Oh my goodness, Levi, if you want to know what like my soul sounds like, it sounds like the Thromby theme song solo, piano solo. That's that track. That's what my soul sounds like. Oh, it's, I love it. I have that like on a loop while I'm working. It just like makes me focus. It's so good. And also like we mentioned this in the episode, but I kind of remind everyone now, Rian Johnson's cousin, Nathan Johnson, was the composer for that movie. And I think that's so cool just to kind of, I mean, they've been working together since they were kids and he's done other composed other movies for him. But I think it's always so cool to make those connections.
Kept it in the family.
Spooky movies really have like awesome soundtracks. I got to say, I don't know if you've seen this Netflix series, Levi, but The Haunting of Hill House has a phenomenal soundtrack.
You keep telling me to watch it, and I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, that's so good. And people listening, if you've seen it, you know how good it is. We need to, like, just email us to tell Levi to watch it, because he'll feel the peer pressure.
I play the board game.
Oh, I've read the book. People who have only seen the show haven't read the book. Read the book, because the book is 100% different. So it's just, like, a brand new spooky story for you to read. It's so good. I'm so excited for season two. Well, it's an anthology series. I don't know if you know that, Levi, but so like this season one, it's like to itself. And then season two is just going to be a brand new, different haunting in a completely different house. So different family and everything. Really excited for that. And the last two ones I was going to bring up were the Shutter Island soundtrack is really good.
It is good. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, Kat and I, during this pandemic, quarantine, whatever, we've been going through Smallville because she's never watched that show. And I haven't seen it all the way through, but I've seen several episodes. I'm a fan of the show. And just watching it is such a joy because the soundtrack is amazing. It's just like late 90s, early 2000s songs. And I'm like, in the show, there's always a song constantly on, but it's always like, oh, I forgot. forgot about this. So it's, there's like several different Smallville playlists on Spotify, which are just a joy to go through, to just to be hit with the nostalgia brick. It's great.
Oh yeah. And I just, this popped into my brain, so I have to say it. On the whole theme of Spirited Away, and essentially any Miyazaki movie, if you listen to the soundtrack, it's feel good music. It's sweet, it's poppy, or not, I shouldn't say poppy. What am I trying to say? Jumpy, bubbly, I guess is a better word than poppy, but like it's very sweet and very calming, very tranquil music. Ooh. So that's really good too.
I'm kind of going to use this to perfect segue into the next question, which we got from Brittany. Please. From Twitter. Brittany was super nice. She reached out to us a couple days, or I think yesterday actually. And she was just like, hey, Film on the Rocks, just discovered y'all. I'm listening to the Scream episode, and I'm just like dying at y'all, laughing, having a good time, blast. Thank you so much, Brittany, for, we always love hearing people enjoying it. And she had a question for us. She was jumping off of, again, Brittany from Twitter. She was jumping off of John's, from Twitter's, question about soundtracks. She wanted to add in, what's our favorite soundtrack music video? Brittany, I'll be honest, I don't watch too many of these, but I do have an answer for you. It is 100% the Will Smith Wild Wild West music video from the movie Wild Wild West.
Oh my gosh, Brooker, that's hilarious.
100% I had that movie on VHS when I was a kid. I remember at the end of the credits, you got to that music video, and I remember like rewinding that a couple, like several times when I was a kid.
I know that was one of his bigger regrets as far as movies go, because he turned down The Matrix to make that movie.
You know what? I'm okay that Keanu Reeves got to be Neo.
I am too. He is Neo. That is, yeah. I only see him as Neo in everything he plays. I also had a hard time. I don't watch a lot of soundtrack music videos or whatever. You know what? I just popped in my brain right now. There is a Treasure Planet soundtrack music video that's pretty good. That was right like way in the back of my brain. I put this down as Baby Driver, the first like, oh gosh, what is it, maybe 5 minutes of the movie is just this kind of chase scene that is perfectly synced. I mean, you talk about, I will gush about Baby Driver if I don't hold myself back. You talk about,
that's
gotta
be a future episode eventually, because you keep talking about it.
We will make it happen. A movie that has the soundtrack perfectly synced to what is happening. Oh, it's beautiful. And originally, for the movie Baby Driver, it was originally a music video of some kind. And it was a chase scene to a song, and it was supposed to be for the song. And then it just turned into, from, it became a movie from this music video. And granted, they reshot it and everything, but it's not technically a music video, but it was. So I'm going to count it.
Okay, that works for me, man. So thank you again, Brittany and John, for those two questions. We got a question from Brent. I'm also going to call him Porkchop. I hope he's okay with that. His Twitter handle is Porkchop, Porkchop1864. And I kind of think Porkchop is a really cool nickname, so if Brent is okay
awesome
with it
nickname.
I'm just going to call him Porkchop.
Oh yeah, I love it.
So Porkchop asked, favorite era of movies, so this could be like a decade or span of years or like anything, like the silent films or whatever. I kind of have two answers to this, Porkchop. My first one is definitely like the mid-70s to late 80s. Like, this is kind of like weird, awkward 10-year span that, like, you know, takes place between two decades. Mostly because in 74, we get Jaws. And it's basically just like the Spielberg-Lucas era. Because
that is exactly what that is, Brooker. Oh,
it's such a good, because we get Jaws, and Jaws kind of, it was the 1-2 punch of Jaws in 74 and then Star Wars in 77, bringing people back to the movie theaters and also changing what like movies could be like, and both of them bringing John Williams to the scene. And also, you know, you want to feel like a piece of crap, Levi?
I mean, no, but I'm ready for
Steven Spielberg did Jaws when he was 26. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. He, that's how old he was, our age when he did Jaws. Like, don't you feel like a piece of crap for knowing that?
Oh my gosh.
And he got John Williams wasn't the household name as he is now back then, but I just admire his story so much because he was a widow when he was doing Jaws. He lost his wife uninspectingly, and he was, you know, very depressed, and you know, that playing the piano was his therapy for this. And I don't know how much longer after, or like what the timeline was like between his wife's death and him doing Jaws, but it was after his wife's death. And I just think it's such an incredible story of like just strength and perseverance for him to get through that and to still just kick ass and come up with that Jaws theme and what he did to Star Wars and everything after that. And, you know, he did E.T. as well. I mean, it's just, it's so cool. And so I'm kind of like Brett, like this is my favorite movie era again, because like he's in all these movies. We get Jaws, Star Wars, the Indiana Jones franchise. I mean, American Graffiti might've been a little bit before one of these movies. I forget, but that's around that area. Still another Lucas movie. So it's such a good time for movies.
Have you seen the movie Willow? This is in 1988.
I have not.
The story was written by George Lucas. I'm pretty sure Spielberg had something to do with it. It stars Warwick Davis as the protagonist. Okay. Val Kilmer's in it. It is such a good movie. It was directed by Ron Howard. 1988. It's only got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I do not agree with. But that is in the same. I 100% agree with you, Brooker. I think my favorite is that kind of 70s, 80s. You get Jaws, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, the whole kind of era, Willow. But
it was 82.
There you go. Yeah, well, I guess technically Jurassic Park was late, or it was early 90s, but like still, that kind of, I feel like Jurassic Park is an 80s movie that leaked into the 90s. It just, that kind of style.
Yeah. And we also get also the Halloween franchise too, and the Friday the 13th as well, which, you know, that's another debate another day about, you know, how good those movies are or whatever, but I still, how like ridiculous they can be, I still enjoy those movies. They kind of shaped how the horror genre panned out, or at least a lot of like the nods we do today still. So the second half to my answer to that is also just like the 90s, because I love, there's so many movies that happened in the 90s that I just love today, like Terminator 2 was 91. That movie is one of the best movies ever made, and that's a hill I'll die on. We get Scream, of course, and there's so many other like random movies that were just really good that came out in the 90s, like Murder by Numbers is a movie I love, and that
Braveheart,
yeah. I think The Patriot was 99.
The Toy Story movies?
Yeah, so, I mean, just a lot of classics, too. So, that's kind of like, I guess, really, I just picked, like, 3 decades. So, sorry, Porkchop.
It's weird, though, because, I mean, I think, like, the late 70s, early 80s, and then the late 80s, early 90s, and then the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, it's kind of the transition of the decade when you have a lot of these super amazing movies coming out.
Oh, I kind of want to bringing up Brent again. He's part of this podcast called the Uncultured Opinions Podcast. They're another movie podcast, but they have like a very like open discussion about lots of different things, and they talk about movies as well. They've been awesome for us too. They've been saying lots of nice things about us. Another host on that show, Ethan, he and I have had many good friendly conversations on Instagram. They've been nothing but super nice. Just kind of want to shout them out. The last question we got from a listener for this is, and this was from Anonymous. So, so something that they, like some feedback we got was, and this person, whoever it was very sweet about it. They were very like, hey, love the show. Just maybe something you could do. You don't have to do it. If you could like maybe give like 5-star ratings for the movies you cover. If people don't know or follow us on Twitter or Instagram, I am on Letterboxd, and I write movie reviews on there, and I also write movie reviews on there for movies we're not currently covering, but I will write reviews on there for movies we do cover, and I'll post, you know, what my 5-star rating was for them. So the reason why I don't want to necessarily do 5-star ratings in the episodes is because, like, my rating system is very different in that, like, mm-hmm. a 1 3-star movie will be very different from another 3-star movie. And because, mm-hmm. like, to me, I rate movies, like, to me, every movie starts out of 5 stars. And it's like, where do you lose points? And then I go there. And then they also gain points from certain things that are just, like, my personal preference. But, mm-hmm. And I also included a lot of things like, you know, what's the message of this? Is the message good? Is it clear? You know, of course, acting as well, storyline. And a big thing to me is rewatchability. You know, how rewatchable is this? Because, I mean, I want to watch this to be entertained, and it should be something that's like, I could pick it up and watch it again. And it doesn't matter how long it's been, I'm still going to be entertained. Right. So that's... rewatchability is something a big factor bring into, and just because of that, all these different things will add up to, like, different, depending how it happens, you know, a 3-star will be different from another 3-star movie that I may not think it's so rewatchable. So that's why in our episodes I kind of like to, maybe I'll start to do a better job of this, is saying how often I'll come back to revisit this movie, or, you know, would I recommend this movie. That's kind of like mm-hmm. where I'm at.
Right. Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat. If you've been a listener, you know that I like to frequent Rotten Tomatoes. It just, I like doing percentages instead of stars, just because a star I only have 5, and in percentages I have 100, and so I can do like a 71 and a 72 and a 73, and so there's more variety. Like, I was just looking for an example about how hard it is to kind of do ratings and stuff. The Last Jedi is a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
From a completely cinematic standpoint, it is visually very pretty. There is some of the prettiest Star Wars we've gotten to see is in The Last Jedi. Like, you know, no spoilers, but there's a hyperspace scene that just makes you want to just, like, I'm pretty sure I crapped myself in the theater when I watched it.
And there's no music when it happens.
And there's no, and it's in silent. Oh, it's so good. So good. But I also don't think The Last Jedi is... I don't think The Last Jedi should be a 90% just for where it sits in the Star Wars franchise and the way it was built and what it means to Star Wars. Like, there's more than just... If you're taking it purely from a film standpoint, that's one thing. But then you also have to take, where does it sit? How does it, you know, how does it affect the culture? How does it affect the people? How does it affect mm-hmm. the... You know, if you make a beautiful movie... and it is just visually stunning, but it retcons everything else in the series, which that's not necessarily what Last Jedi did. But, like, you know, there are some movies Jurassic World is visually stunning.
Right.
But no one's going to be like, oh, it's better than Jurassic Park because, like, yes, the technology is better now, but, and yes, it looks more realistic now to certain extents, but Jurassic Park was made in whatever 1993 or whatever 1990 early 1990s mm-hmm. and it holds up today.
Yeah,
so you're gonna say, oh yeah, Jurassic Park is like a 95% or something mm-hmm. because it is amazing. And that, or even, you know, we kind of crap on George Lucas for the prequels, but we forget that Jar Jar Binks in episode 1, who everybody's like, oh, he's terrible, that was essentially the first time that we really got to see a completely CGI character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jar Jar Binks was, from a technological standpoint, a breakthrough to right. the nth degree. Like, people were freaking out about it, that there was, like, a not person talking to real people. And that's what, you know, I know whenever Peter Jackson was making Lord of the Rings, that's literally what he said, is he said, hey, when we make Gollum, you know, Schmeagle, we are going Jar Jar Binks level. Like, we're going to go make or break. And people were scared to do that because it was either going to look incredible, like a very small chance it would look amazing, and a very big chance that it would look terrible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So... you just kind of have to tell that to say, you kind of have to take it, you know, in stride. Revenge of the Sith is an 80% Rotten Tomatoes, but I rank Revenge of the Sith as a higher percentage than The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really do stars. I can, But, you know, I prefer doing percentages, and I know my percentages are going to be much different than most people.
Yeah. And again, you and I are kind of get to the same point. I'd much rather just give my summarized opinion and would I recommend it? Is it rewatchable? Those to me are more important than a star ranking. Cause like one person's 4 or 5 star or 3 star doesn't mean too much to me. Cause I'm like, okay, but was it entertaining? So
sure.
Those are things I'm looking for.
Yeah. Agreed.
So thank you again for those questions. And you know, send them to us throughout, you know, whenever you have one, just email that to us. That way I could keep track of it and address it in the next episode. John actually had another point in here, but I kind of want to tease and leave it for our next bonus episodes that we'll talk about at the end of June. Because it's definitely like a philosophical question that I want to ask you later. So I'm going to tease that and ask you about that. It has to do with the Scream franchise. So we'll tease that and talk about that in the next bonus episode.
Oh, okay. I'm excited for it.
And while we're talking about listeners that wrote in stuff, thank you again. I also want to shout out, like I did earlier, Grace, who's been an awesome, loyal listener to us. And also to Shoot the Flick podcast. They have been super nice to us, Levi. I know you're not really too active on Twitter, but they've been super complimentary to us. So I kind of want to shout them out.
Shoot the Flick.
Yeah, they've been super nice. Okay, so now we're kind of going to move into, you know, what sort of things have we been watching? What are our suggestions for people to check out that we've been watching outside of the podcast? So something that I want to really suggest to people is the Harley Quinn show, the animated series that's on like the DC universe. That has been, because it was on Hulu for like a week for free for some reason, and Kat and I binged the first season. It is so funny. Like, and the second season is ongoing right now, so we're probably going to get a DC subscription, binge it, and then maybe cancel it unless there's other stuff on there we find. But the Harley Quinn show is hysterical. It's so funny, and it's very like rated R humor. Like, they drop f-bombs and there's gore and all sorts of stuff in this animated show. It is hilarious. And the actor who voices Harley Quinn, she was Penny on The Big Bang Theory. I'm trying to look up what her name is.
Kudrow.
See, her last name was difficult for me to pronounce.
I never
Kaylee
watched Big
Coco
Bang Theory.
Or Kaylee Cuoco.
Kudrow. Isn't that Kudrow?
I'm pulling it up.
Kaylee Cuoco?
Cuoco? Kaylee, whatever. Kaylee C. She does a...
Kaylee C. I know Big Bang Theory is just so popular for people. Hot take. I can't stand Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Who is working on their PhD, this show is insulting.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's a good logical point for me to hold on to. That's good. I just don't like it because it's one of those, like, oh, here, I'm going to give you, gosh, I don't mean to go.
Don't
I'm
do it. Do
banging
it.
On. Okay. This is my excerpt, my impression of Big Bang Theory. Hey, Brooker. Ha 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 ha. Oh, hey there, Levi. Ha 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 ha. Hey, did you want to go out to the grocery store today? Ha 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 ha. That's literally
that's how
what
I feel.
It's just. Boom, boom, boom. Like, I mean, the poor people, I mean, it was successful. Congratulations, blah, 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 blah. But it just did not know how to do the whole laugh track thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, could you imagine if there were awkward, nerdy people? Like, what would that be like? Oh, my God.
I know.
So that's...
didn't age super well, yeah.
Yeah, so there are definitely some... I mean, I've watched it. There are definitely some episodes that have really tickled me, but like...
Yeah, it's not... It's not the worst show in the world, it's not the best.
So that's
random tangent.
that Harley Quinn show is fantastic. I love it. I've also went through just because it's been bugging me that I haven't seen this before. A prior episode that Levi and I have done is I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I've been dying to see the sequel just because I'm a sucker for 90s slashers. I still Know What You Did Last Summer. And by golly, that I don't know if I can recommend that movie, but holy cow, we need to have like a special episode where we kind of just poo-poo on movies. And like the rest, like we'll swap out some segments where the most of the episode will be just drinking rolls, just like, okay, drink when this happens. And then instead of like favorite scenes, is what was the dumbest scene? But I still know what you did last summer. It's the biggest pro I could give is that it's a great movie to get drunk to if you just need to sit down and like you have like a six pack of beer to yourself. It's one of those nights you're like, oh, yeah, well, my significant other is working late or doing something with the guys or the girls. I'm going to get a little buzzed and make fun of this movie. That's what that movie was made for. So I recommend that scenario.
There you go.
What about you, Levi? There you go.
Okay, things that I've been, so I don't have as much time to do movies as right. Brooker does. I usually, as far as movies go, I'll sometimes sneak one in. I've got TV shows.
Yeah, you can I'll do TV shows if you want.
That I'm not doing for like Film on the Rocks, but I've said my piece about it for now. Baby Driver, go watch Baby Driver. Also, kind of in the same umbrella as Baby Driver, if you haven't seen. Because these two came out around the same time, and I'm really bummed they came out so close to each other, because I feel like if they were separated, this one I'm about to mention would shine a lot brighter than it does. I think the first Kingsman movie is phenomenal. The second one
that is such a good one.
The second one is kind of garbage. I haven't seen it. The first one is, yeah, you should still see it. It's still fun, but compared to the first one, it's not good. But yeah,
so it's Kingsman, fun, but so like good. Not great, but it's fun.
No. Yeah, it's fun, not great.
See, that's an example right there. Where it's like, it's not a good movie, but you know what? It's at least fun, and I wouldn't get that from like a star rating. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I wouldn't rate it super high, but it's one of those ones where I would still go see it. Like,
yeah. See, exactly.
Like, hey, we're watching Kingsman 2 tonight. I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch that again. Like, I'm not like never again. Like, yeah, like of course, yeah, I'll watch it. But yeah, Kingsman, Baby Driver, thought about those. For TV shows, Amy Poehler has this new TV show out. It's only one season. It's called Duncanville. And it is an animated, it's a cartoon, adult cartoon, and it is hilarious. Rachel and I just finished this recent season of Bob's Burgers, and we're like, well, shoot, now what are we going to watch? And so we're kind of sifting through, and we're like, well, okay, what's Duncanville? Like, we'd seen some commercials for it, and it is so funny. The writing is really good.
Streaming service is it on?
It is on Hulu.
Awesome.
It's on Hulu. It's a good watch. Yes?
Oh, I was going to completely interrupt you and ask you a question.
No, please. Interrupt away.
I am so sorry, people. What have y'all delved into Space Force?
No. Okay. That is our next big to-do. We are actually going to start it. We were going to start it the other day, but then we ran into this next one, Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
What is it's that?
Thomas, I think his first name is Thomas. Thomas Middle Ditch and Ben Schwartz. Ben Schwartz is the awesome one. He's one of my favorite actors.
He's
right
hilarious.
Now. He's in Parks and Rec. He plays the voice of Sonic and Sonic. The Hedgehog, and he's in another television show that I'm about to recommend here in a little bit. But it's essentially Middle Ditch and Schwartz is a comedy special, but I don't know how many episodes there are, but they just improv. They improv for like, you know, 52 minutes or whatever.
Wow.
And it is hilarious. But yes, Space Force is on our list right now. Have you started watching that?
We have seen the first two episodes, and like, it's okay.
He's in that too. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Ben Schwartz is in Space Force. It's okay. I mean, we're only two episodes in. The first episode didn't really hook me in. The second episode was a lot better, I will say. And I kind of tweeted about this. It was like I kind of tweeted saying I'm only two episodes in, but I'm kind of meh on it. And Fandummies replied to me saying that you got to get to episode 3 because that's like where it picks up, I guess. And they agreed with me that the first episode was not good, but the show gets better. And it's they're kind of trying to explain to me it's more of like a workplace comedy, not so much a making fun of like astronauts or, you know, working. It's just like you got to think of it in terms like that. So I will say the second episode was a big improvement from the first one. So eventually we'll get around to revisiting it, but it's okay.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm sure we'll jump into it as soon as we finish Middle Ditch and Schwartz. Gosh, I cannot say his name. but Ben Schwartz is hilarious. He's so funny. Everything he does is so funny. leading into, I think we've talked about this, Brooker, but the new reboot of DuckTales.
I have not delved into that.
It is hilarious. Hilarious. They were like, you know, it's rebooting DuckTales.
Disney
you got
Plus,
Ben
right?
Ben Schwartz. Yes, Disney Plus. Ben Schwartz, which if you've seen, what's it called? Mandalorian, then you have mm-hmm. Disney Plus. Ben Schwartz plays Dewey.
Man, he's in everything right now.
Yeah. Danny Pudi, who plays Abed in Community, plays Huey. And Louie is played by, I forgot his name. He was in SNL. Gosh, that's going to kill me. But it's a very, 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 very funny show. The writing is amazing. And Scrooge McDuck is played by... Scrooge is played by David Tennant, who was Doctor Who.
Okay.
Bobby Moynihan, that's the one I forgot.
Mm.
Louis is played by Bobby Moynihan, who was an SNL cast member and all that jazz. It is so funny. The writing is great. The timing is great. It is so much fun. So, Middleditch and Schwartz, DuckTales, Baby Driver, Kingsman. Also, not television. Also, not a movie. But I binged this, and it is amazing. During the pandemic, a lot of celebrities have been doing different things to, like, raise money. And one of the Andy Serkis, who plays Gollum or Schmeagol
in Snoke.
But in Lord of the Rings, Snoke, Caesar in Planet of the Apes, King Kong in the Peter Jackson King Kong movie. I mean, the list goes on. He plays so many people. And he read so good. He took donations to help with the pandemic. Donated it to, I forget, it's so bad of me to forget, but it donated to, it was a beautiful cause. It essentially, I forget the organization's name, but it helped low-income families with children who were in the middle of this pandemic who didn't have funds because people were getting let go. It was a wonderful cause. It is a wonderful cause. But he read in a 12-hour sitting, read The Hobbit cover to cover.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. It was so amazing. I watched it. It started because he's in, you know, the UK.
Right.
And it started at 4 a.m. my time and went until 4 p.m. my time. And so I got up at 4 a.m. and logged on to YouTube because it was going live on YouTube, paused it. Because usually if it's like a live YouTube thing, it'll stay up on YouTube for a while. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pause it, go back to sleep, get up, play it, go at my pace. And even after he's done, the feed will still be up and I can just finish it. I didn't get to finish it and the feed dropped. And so I didn't get to finish listening to him read the story. But they released it on YouTube and it's been up for, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on YouTube... It's still there. Granted, like I said, it is, it's 12 hours. So you have to kind of find a good time to do it.
Find a nice 12-hour window.
Right. It's called if you look up the Hobbit-a-thon, and it's under the YouTube name, the YouTube channel. It's literally Smeagol Gollum. it's literally just Smeagol Gollum. And it's got like 200,000 views on it, but they cut out all of the gaps. So it's only 10 and a half hours. Only 10 and a half hours.
You'll have enough time to pee at some point.
So I would recommend that if you have a quiet weekend or you have a day where you don't know what to do and you want to get away from the screen or whatever, put this thing on, put on your Bluetooth headphones, walk around the house and do your chores or whatever. And listen to this. Oh, it's so wonderful because he's just the man of 1,000 voices and it's beautiful.
Oh, that sounds really cool. I'm not as into the Lord of the Rings franchise as you, but that definitely sounds something that'd be really cool to do. I know like Daniel Radcliffe started to read Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone, in the same vein as what Andy Serkis was doing.
Yeah. Also, last thing, this isn't any pertain to anything movie or TV related, Animal Crossing.
I don't know what
I'll
this
leave
is.
It there.
Okay, we'll just leave it.
No, it's,
I want to stay in the dark. There's some things I just don't need to know.
No, you don't. It's a Switch game. It's a farming simulator. Okay. I'm not a big farming simulator.
I don't
person,
have a Switch.
Oh, But it's so much fun. I got it for my wife for her birthday, and she was like, "You should play it." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll see." And I started playing it. I am addicted. All I do is fish. All I do is fish.
Oh man. I think the last thing I want to kind of recommend that I watched for the first time, and this one's a very obvious one, but I just feel like I need to say it, was Uncut Gems. It's finally on Netflix. I watched it for the first time. My best friend, we FaceTime each other because he saw it in theaters. He's like, "Dude, you got to see Uncut Gems." And it was that, in, you know how Levi, your wife, Rachel, she says like some movies make her sweaty. This movie made me sweaty. It was.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, it's really good. If somehow you haven't watched it yet and you're wondering if it's worth the hype, yeah, it's worth the hype. Go watch Uncut Gems.
I need to check it out. Everyone's recommending it.
Alrighty, so we'll kind of wrap things up by kind of stating what episodes are coming out in June. And I kind of just want to reiterate a couple things. If you have other comments or feedback or anything you want us to address or mention you in episodes like this, send them over whenever you want to at fotrpodcast@gmail.com. It's the easiest way for me to keep up with it. If you tweet it at me, I will probably lose it by the time we get to the end of June. Also, Levi and I kind of want to introduce some new, like a new kind of special segment, kind of, where we want to make, we want to cover scenes or parts of movies that listeners want to make sure we do. So when you hear what our schedule is, or you see on Twitter what movies we're going to be recording for soon, and there's a scene in there, "Oh, this is my favorite part," please, again, email it to us, and if we agree with you, or you know, if you know you're just lucky enough or whatever, we'll cover that scene and be sure to mention you by name, like, "This scene was recommended to talk about by, you know, so and so listener." Just be sure do that if you like to, or even suggest a drinking rule. We would love to hear what kind of ideas you guys have as well. So for June, our four movies are Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Disturbia, yeah, which is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I freaking love this movie. And The Patriot, which is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Levi and I, we have kind of recorded half of these already. So get in your scenes or drinking rules for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or The Patriot. And I'm so excited to get these episodes out. This is a good batch of movies, and this is also going to be kind of difficult for me to rank these four movies when we do it at the end of June.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, this is going to be a really hard ranking.
Yeah, definitely. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And also, we need to know what to call these bonus episodes. Talks on the Rocks, After Hours, tweet at us, let us know what you think.
Seriously, y'all. And as always, thank you guys so much for your support. Thanks for giving us a listen, giving us a share. And yeah, feel free to contact us at any time. We love hearing your voices.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm going to sign off. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Film on the Rocks, Instagram at Film on the Rocks Podcast. And if you want to see more of my movie reviews that aren't necessarily part of the podcast, you can find me on Letterboxd. If you just search for Film on the Rocks, you'll find me.
Excellent.
All right. This was a lot of fun. I love this bonus stuff. We'll see how quickly. We're recording this Wednesday night, June 3rd. So we'll see how quickly I'm able to turn this around and pump it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. And we'll see you on this. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, this is before Scott Pilgrim. But episodes come out Sunday. So be sure to look out for that.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Fans of Film on the Rocks obviously enjoy a great download. Here's another. Substitute Angel, the multiple award-winning novel by Timothy Best, is now available at audible.com. While driving home in a snowstorm one night, paramedic Doc Watson hits a deer that runs across the road. At least, he thought it was a deer. It actually turns out to be an angel, sent to prevent the murder of a young woman in the small northern Michigan town where Doc works. Now injured, she can't complete her mission, so she recruits a very skeptical Doc to intervene to try to save the young woman's life. But in the process, his life gets sucked into a whirlpool of danger and startling realizations. In Detail magazine wrote, "Timothy Best weaves a touching tale evoking belly laughs and sobbing tears of joy that most novels only dream of producing." Substitute Angel is available in paperback, ebook, and now in audiobook. Substitute Angel by Timothy Best. Download it on your Audible.com app today. And now, on with the show.